Yeah, 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 yeah. Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. A tremendous Monday to you. Normally that deck, yeah, is a Friday thing, but when you come off the weekend that we're coming off of right now, how do you not start the week that way? How do you not start the week that way? All right, lots to get done. Great to be here. What's going on? How are we all living? Let's get it. Open phones now, number one. Obviously, a whole lot of talk about the NCAA tournament, and we're waiting on Shohei. He is supposed to address the media today. Got thoughts on the NFL, owners' meetings, and more. But for you and your purposes, just know the first hour is open to you. Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. I know I was watching the tournament last week. Otherwise, why would Let's Make a Deal be up on monitor number three? Yeah, it is. All right, in addition to the telephone number, you can find me there. Also find me on the X platform at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. So the first hour is wide open. Coming up at the top of hour number two, the head basketball coach of Illinois, Brad Underwood, coming back in. Brad Underwood has been on the show a number of times over the years. Illinois looking tough. So he joins us. They're on to the Sweet 16. Top of hour number three, college basketball analyst for CBS Sports. We run him down every single year at this time. Wally Szczerbiak, ATP coming up in hour number three. And again, the first hour is open to you. Again, hit me up, 1-800-636-8686. Lots to get done today. All right, so as you've heard me say so many times in the past, there is arguably nothing better than the first 4 days of March Madness. Now, the flip side of that is where we're at right now. There's arguably nothing worse than the come down. Come down Monday, a.k.a. the crash at the end of the ultimate dopamine binge. I mean, I think it goes beyond dopamine at this point. It's kind of like basketball crack. For 4 days, you're on the greatest trip slash bender ever. And then all of a sudden, it's full stop. It's like this adrenaline hangover, but much worse. It's jarring. It really is. But at least we got one of the best games of the weekend at the very end of the weekend. Because you got a couple of good teams, damn good teams, in Texas A&M and Houston. And almost as importantly, two damn good jungle programs. Y'all know Kelvin Sampson and Buzz Williams are regulars around here. Hell, Buzz is so regular, he goes around quoting the Reinvention Project. My man told me he's listened to every single one of the episodes. I don't think I've listened to every single one of the episodes, and I've hosted every single one of the episodes. But then again, the way he coaches and the way he's all about mindset, I believe it, and he gets it, and he almost got Houston last night. I mean, damn, what a game. Cougs led by 12 with just over 2 minutes to play. They had a win probability at that time of 99.3%. People all across America probably turning that game off and going to bed. If that was you, you messed up. Because from that point forward, the Aggies poured in 17 in the final 2 minutes to force OT, and they capped it with this unbelievable buzzer beater at the end of regulation.
Right for the inbounder, looking, the bounce, Garcia!
Unreal play call, unreal execution, unreal shot, unreal finish, classic, classic madness.
Unreal!
And then suddenly, unreal!
It's just unreal.
And then suddenly a major test for Houston. Were they going to get up off the mat? Were they going to be able to finish that game and get to the Sweet 16 in their four straight tournament? Could they make it in the end even with four dudes fouled out? And they were banged up. That's how they found themselves with Elvin at the stripe and the season on the line. I said Elvin, not Alvin, not Allen, not Elvin DeLauro. I'm talking about senior Ryan Elvin,
Thank
as
you,
in a senior walk-on, as in somebody who had only played 173 total minutes in 4 years before last night. He had only attempted 7 career free throws before he went to the line with a chance to put Houston up 4 in the final 20 seconds. I mean, just stop on that for a minute. A walk-on in that situation. But of course, you know, when you talk about Kelvin Sampson and you listen to him, it's not about the guy or the walk-on. It's about the culture, the whole thing. So, of course, Elvin made one of two to put the game out of reach and send Houston back to the Sweet 16. If it were Alvin, he'd be all, dude, yes, yes. I just hit a free throw to put us in the Sweet 16. Dude, yes, yes. Look at me. Dude, yes, yes. Tell me how my ass taste. I'm Alvin.
Tell me how my ass taste.
Well done, Alvin. Another masterclass from Kelvin Sampson. Now, you might argue, hey, listen, that shows some vulnerability. That shows they're gettable. Or you might argue, man, that shows some straight-up brass sack and grit. And maybe it's both. Gritty as hell, though. Tough, tough win. In fact, Kelvin called it one of his favorite wins ever. He was loving it. I was loving him loving it, although I felt badly for Buzz, who's also my guy. Houston is on survive, advance. Everybody knows that in order to get to the Final Four or win the championship, oftentimes you have to have a game like that. And you've got to get over in a game like that. And they did. And believe me, they're not the only one seed breathing massive sighs of relief right about now. Because I'm pretty sure Purdue is feeling relieved as hell. Even if they basically haven't broken a sweat yet in this tournament. You know where I'm going with that, right? Nobody was under more pressure coming in than those dudes.
Nobody.
Purdue absolutely had to get past opening weekend, the opening weekend this year. They could not take another huge tournament opportunity and set it on fire again. They could not go down as a one seed again. But for once, the Boilermakers are actually living up to the billing so far, living up to the hype. In fact, they're better than living up to the hype. They have been totally dominant, led, of course, by their gigantic big man, who seems like he's been around since the early 2000s, and seems like he's only now hitting a growth spurt. I mean, my man Zach Edey is like, what, 8'7"? He's now the first player with 50-plus points and 35-plus boards through the first two games of the tournament in nearly 30 years. Who do you think was the last guy to do that? Pull this one and you're a legend. Unless you saw it posted somewhere. I love this throwback. That has not been done since the Dice Man did it. Antonio McDice back in 95. So that's pretty good. I also thought he had a pretty good response after he got done curb stomping Utah State about the pressure that's facing that program.
How much pressure did you feel to get out of this first weekend to get to the Sweet 16 after what happened last year?
No pressure, just basketball. We just did what we were supposed to do. We're going to keep moving on.
I can respect it. But we all know there was pressure. There was a lot of pressure. A ton of pressure. Massive pressure. I get it. You can't dwell on it. That'll get you beat. I mean, it accomplishes nothing. You know, kind of like dwelling on bad takes. If I did that, I could never move this show forward. Because, frankly, I see and receive a lot of bad takes. I know better than anybody how much of a waste of time it is to get hooked and dwell on bad takes, because I get more of them hurled at me than anyone. But even I think it's pretty funny that there are all these haters out on social media who think that Edey is only good because he's that tall. I mean, that goofy take is so bad it's funny. That take is so bad and so lame that it actually cracks me up. Just not his coach. He doesn't see the same humor in it that I do. His coach actually thinks that that line of thinking, that that take, is moronic. That it's imbecilic. And he was even more pissed when he heard that. You're a moron if you think that guy's only that good because he's that tall. Because his coach was even more pissed when he heard that take than I am when I hear or see some of your very worst takes. Listen to Matt Painter when somebody tried to come at him with that.
They just shouldn't cover basketball. Yeah, you know. And so, like, you go to school and you learn things or whatever, but we all don't like every single class we're in, right? It's kind of a necessary evil. It's like going to work. Like, you don't like everybody you work with, or you don't like certain parts of your job, and, you know, it's tough, right? You got to be able to deal with, like, certain things that are difficult. And so I just think everybody should, like, take tests on their knowledge of what they're doing. Like, I think all coaches should take a test so they understand refereeing. And I think all referees should take a test so they understand coaching. And I think all journalists should have to take a basketball quiz or a test, or anybody that tweets, they should have to be able to do it. And if they say something so moronic as that, then they should have to have a probationary status where they can't tweet for like 3 months. I think it'll help like society, you know, like just try to knock out the fools, you know, so they don't have to, you know, meet at the local Walmart and say things that don't make any sense.
Holy crap. That was incredible. I mean, I think he covered pretty much everything. That should cover the entire world in a nutshell. I love the way he tagged it, too. And then if they don't pass, they should all meet at the local Walmart and just chop it up with each other and talk about things that make no sense.
Yo.
That was incredible. What a rant. And by the way, he had a lot of good ideas in there. I'm sure the testing people, before they're allowed into the JTP, would greatly improve the quality of submissions to this program. But I'm also not sure that any of you could actually pass that test, or any test, for that matter. If you had to test to get into the JTP, there would be no JTP. And by the way, there is no JTP anyway. It's the JXP. That's the only problem with his rant. He's going on about Twitter. There is no Twitter. There is the X. And there is no JTP. There is the JXP. Start referring to yourselves as such. Anyway, saying that Zach Edey is only good because he's tall isn't that bright, nor is it that fair. But saying he's so big that his tiny number looks ridiculous on his uniform is actually quite fair, because it's actually quite true. It looks absurd. It looks like they put a toddler-sized number on a triple XL jersey. It looks like his number shrunk in the wash, but the rest of his jersey stayed the same. This dude's tall enough that he doesn't need a baby number on his back to make him look any bigger. It's not just the one seeds, though, that are feeling themselves. Looking at you, Clemson, and my dude, Brad Brownell. Clemson is riding the jungle karma right into the Sweet 16, and they're also reminding all the haters. I never thought Clemson hoops would be such a lightning rod, but it seemed like nobody was happy with this program going to the tournament. Nobody wanted them in the field. Their coach was under fire from the fan base. They backed into the tournament, allegedly, and the vibes were all off. Yeah, now what? Now the vibes are all incredible. Clemson is back in the Sweet 16 for the second time under this coach, and Clemson players have some free advice for all of those hating on the program and hating on said coach.
I mean, I don't really like usually doing this, but all those Fire Brownell guys can, you know, kiss it. So, you know, he's done an unbelievable job here. He's built this program for 14 years. He's been in the league for so long. Like, you don't get that every day. You don't get that everywhere.
Joe Girard of Clemson saying that, defending his coach. I like that. All those Fire Brownell guys can kiss it. Great quote.
Kiss it. So
it's not just Clemson telling everybody to kiss it. It's actually the entire ACC, because since the first four, the ACC is now 8-0 in the tourney. And they just put four teams in the Sweet 16. Even though everybody spent the last 2 weeks talking about how overrated and undeserving that conference is. Whoops! The ACC says you all can just kiss it.
Kiss it. So.
ACC can't lose right now. Neither can the Big East. Now, if you think there was fire coming from the ACC, man, the Big East, that factory of hate, man, they are just cranking it out, aren't they? And once again, after a 12-4 performance in the tournament last year, the Big East, with only three teams in, still have three teams in. And they're 6-0, and UConn still cannot find a competitive game. Maybe the championship rematch that they've got coming up with Brian Dutcher in San Diego State will be more competitive than the actual national championship was. I hope so. Let's hope so. Because it would be nice to see UConn actually get pushed by somebody, anybody, before they just run roughshod over the entire field for their second title in a row. I mean, those were two absolute hospital jobs to start the tournament. And what about all that talk about how this tournament was so wide ass open? I admit it, I was guilty as anybody of selling that narrative for the last few weeks. Wide ass open. Yeah, not anymore. In fact, Dutcher himself, hell of a coach, big fan of his. And by the way, can we not sleep on San Diego State? And not because they went to the championship game last year. Nice, nice program. Really nice program. But Dutcher himself said it best. When talking about UConn, he called it, the tournament, the UConn Invitational. And he's not wrong. It really is UConn v. the field. That's how unbelievable they have looked so far, man. They play so hard. So hard, so hungry. And, of course, they are coached by the great Dan Hurley, jungle favorite. But really, my top UConn request is not having to hear about Dan. I can't get enough of Dan Hurley. I love the guy. One of my favorite guys ever. Like, anything you tell me about this guy, I want to hear. I take it all in. Except his superstitions. I respect them. You all know I love the guy. You all know this is a huge Dan Hurley house. We had him in here right after they won it all. We had him in here 2 months ago talking about going for the repeat. You know I love the guy. I just don't need to hear about his underwear anymore. And I definitely don't need to see his underwear. I just don't need any more footage of his red dragon undies.
Dan Hurley is the king of superstition, especially on game day. He has to have 8 M&Ms before every game. He has to have a cup of bulletproof coffee on the sidelines at all times, and do not knock it over. And he has to wear the same suit and socks and shoes and, yes, the same red dragon underwear. And don't worry, it is clean. His wife, Andrea, travels with a portable washing machine. I mean, you can't make that up, Ian.
And apparently they travel a Maytag repairman with them as part of the crew. No, they do not. Who has a portable washing machine? I didn't even know that existed.
Ian's got a good point. A portable washing machine. The hell does that even mean? Is there a portable dryer? Do you check the portable washing machine, or does it fit in the overhead compartment?
Portable
washing
machine.
I guess if you fly private, it doesn't really matter. Whatever it is, I'm not sure anybody knew that that existed until last night.
Private.
Just like nobody knew that Coach's red dragon underwear looked like that until last night. I really wish I didn't know, because unfortunately I cannot unsee it. I don't know what was worse. The footage of Coach's boxers, or the sound coming from the Grand Canyon cheering section. Yo, Grand Canyon, I hate to say that I was rooting for you to lose, especially against Mr. Wrong Spot, Wrong Time, Nate Oates. But America's going to turn on you, and that's not easy to do when you're a Cinderella, and you know everybody's going to pull for the dog. But America is going to turn on you when your fans show up and do this.
On the post, Grand Canyon takes the points!
starts with the great hands. Jovan Blackshear gets a hand on this basketball. They've got numbers, but he felt this the entire
Who was being murdered in their section? That's what it sounded like when they flashed that footage of Hurley's Red Dragons. Hey, everybody. Hey, y'all, look at this.
Well, it starts with the great hands. Jovan Blackshear gets a hand on this basketball.
Here's my reaction. When I woke up this morning and I realized there would be no more madness until Thursday, and I thought, how the hell am I going to get to Thursday? And then all of a sudden, this.
Well, it starts with the great hands. Jovan Blackshear.
Chuck said, boss, you all right? Are you all right? And I responded to him by saying,
well, it starts with the great hands.
Jim, what's up? What's up? That's the sound of withdrawal.
Well, it starts with the great hands. Jovan Blackshear.
All right, tough to do a whip coming off that weekend, even if it was chalky as hell. And yes, I've got something for all of you that are constantly coming at me and the big head anytime we go with a favorite, anytime we lay the points. There's just this contingency of people listening. And it's not a huge contingency, but there is this group of folks that if you ever lay the points, or if you ever, God forbid, play the money line, it's like a reason to go. Like you're some less of a human being. Yeah, well, look at it. What's the point? Is the point to win? Is the point to make money? Or is the point to stand on principle that, yeah, man, I'm taking the points. Because you and the big head over there are just a couple of chalky little bitches. Really? Look at the numbers. I am so convinced that some of you would rather go 0-5 with the dogs than 5-0 with the favorites. Make that make sense, because it doesn't and never will. Unless you enjoy setting your money on fire.
It doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't. For once, I agree with her. Other things to get into in addition to the tournament. And again, Brad Underwood and Wally Szczerbiak both coming up later on. We're waiting on Shohei. Shohei, who under the best of circumstances does not like to deal with the press. I would imagine under the worst of circumstances, he would like it even less. But he's got no choice. He has to address this. I don't suspect he's going to say anything noteworthy, but he has to address this. In terms of his interpreter and former best friend, Ipe, man, is there anything this dude won't lie about? I mean, he really is the epitome of, if his lips are moving, he's lying. He seems like one of those guys that lies so often, he doesn't even know when he's lying anymore. You're a liar and a felon. Well, maybe not a felon, but maybe. I'll tell you what's felonious, in my mind. Felonious is not dealing with an illegal bookmaker. Well, could be. But you know what I know to be felonious? This dude's saying that he went to and graduated from UC Riverside when UC Riverside says it has no record of him ever attending. Yo, bro, you keep the UC system out your lying mouth. I'm not having that as a UC grad. In fact, on the XR4TI alone, we have 3 UC grads. None of us are having it. Well, maybe Alvin is. No offense,
Avi. No.
I'm just glad it was Riverside that he slandered and not UC Santa Barbara, the great UCSB. Man, we're not having that. I could see that happening in Riverside, though. No offense, Riverside. I could see that happening in, I don't know, Santa Cruz. No offense, Avi. Come on, Ipe. I could see why you'd want to lie about being a graduate of the UC system. Many would like to. But we don't go running around telling people we went there and graduated from there when we never actually attended. And then telling people we work for the Red Sox, also a lie. And then the Yankees, also a lie. All right, full transparency. Yes, I graduated from UC Santa Barbara. Yes, I took an extra quarter to do so. I'll own that. But at least I graduated, Ipe. At least I was enrolled, Ipe. At least I went to school there, Ipe. At least I stepped foot on campus, Ipe. Come on, man. If you want to lie about going to a school locally because you grew up around here, man, lie about going to Fortin or Long Beach State. Come on, man. Did you keep the UC system out your mouth? Hey, Shohei, background check much?
Keep my name out your mouth.
Or Team Shohei, background check much? I bet it couldn't have been too hard to find out that none of that stuff was true. Like anything on his resume, is any of it true? I mean, never mind that probably most of it was a lie. All you had to do was find one lie, and it couldn't have been that hard. All right, all of this still ahead. 1-800-636-8686. Bam! How's that for a Monday open? How's this for a question? Why is Old Trapper Beef Jerky so amazing? Why don't we start by saying it starts with a family business? It's a family business which stands by quality and produces the world's finest beef jerky. Do not be fooled by their brands. All beef jerky is not one and the same. Make sure you choose Old Trapper. That way you can actually see the quality right through their Clearview packages. You know they do that on purpose. They want you to see exactly what you're buying before you buy it. And then once you break into that package, you'll realize that every single bite of Old Trapper is tender and it's never tough like other beef jerky because they use just the best ingredients. They don't have to. They want to. That's what makes the product so amazing. The best ingredients. Also, four mouth-watering flavors. So you have your choice. They're all excellent. Find out for yourself. They come in 4-ounce bags, or if you know what you want, get the 18-ounce bags. If you do not see it, and I can't imagine you wouldn't, but if for some reason you do not see it, ask for Old Trapper by name, because no other jerky compares Old Trapper with your beef.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Sports fans, are you ready to take your game to the next level? Introducing Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app with over 3 million active members. Prize Picks is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. Personally, I never did it. I never played daily fantasy sports until I found Prize Picks. All you have to do is pick more or less on 2-6 player stat projections, and then watch the winnings roll in. You could win up to 100 times your money with as little as 4 correct picks. Turn $10 into $1,000 with pro basketball, hockey, and college basketball entries today. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, Prize Picks has something for every sports fan. And with injury insurance, your entries stay in play even if your player gets injured. It is simple to play. Make your picks, submit your entry in less than 60 seconds. With weekly promotions and offers, the excitement never stops. You can even use Apple Pay for easy deposits into your account this basketball season. Download the app right now. Use the code ROME, R-O-M-E, for a first deposit match of up to $100. Code ROME, R-O-M-E, on Prize Picks for a deposit match of up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Alvin will jump in with a pick.
Dude.
Not this hour, but next hour. Be listening. Alvin's going to have one next hour for you. You do have to be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. All right, some quick reaction before I go to break. Jamie in Green Bay is in. Jamie in Green Bay is a very solid contributor via the X. Quote, "We didn't come here to the X to play school." Signed, JTP. Clever. I like that. Well done. Romeo. Okay, already, because it starts with Romeo, it's going to be less clever. Romeo, here's a question from the jungle entry exam. If you see a fat whale jiggling her fat body in the street, what do you think of? A, Jardiance. B, Jeff in Richmond. C, none of the above. Fat shaming isn't show fodder. If you answered C, congratulations, you have failed this exam. V in the feed. V, here's the thing, dude. Rules are rules. Rules apply to everybody, dude. As much as I like you. V, don't do something stupid that gets you blocked from the show. It would hurt me to block you from the show, but it would hurt you even more. I would argue, V, that as much as I like you, you need the show more than the show needs you. Dude, don't test me. Don't try me. Don't push me. You know the rules, dude. You are gambling on your golden ticket. Your show privileges, moreover. I mean, never mind me ripping your golden ticket. What if I ripped your privileges like Wells, like Ipe? Dude, you're gambling with your show privileges like your Ipe. In other words, you don't know how to gamble. You're going to lose. You can't help yourself. And then you're going to hit up one of your famous friends, me, to get you out of the hole. And I won't be there for you. I'll just accuse you of massive theft. V, it's not worth it, dude. Again, the JN Hill is not the hill to die on. Dude, it's just not worth it. You got to have more range than that. You have to have more game than that. It's not worth you getting three morons laughing at that for you to risk losing your jungle privileges. V, are you hearing me, dude?
It's not worth it. It's not worth it.
It's not worth it. It's not worth it. It's not worth it.
It's not worth it.
I like you being a part of this show. Dude, don't try me. Yes, you would be a greater loss to the show than Wells. No offense, Wells. In fact, if you do take offense, I don't care. V, unlike Wells, we might actually know that you're not here. Dude, don't do it. I'm being serious. Do not do it. It's not worth the risk. Because you see, V, this is why I will do you like that. If I don't, everybody's going to rush up in here and say, hey, Rome, thought you didn't play favorites. Hey, Rome, why don't the rules apply to that guy? And then I'll have no answer. No, you're right. They do. V, I spent way more time on that than I should have ever, because you should know better. Don't try me, V. I want you to be a part of this, dude. I like you. Don't do that. I'm telling you. All right, when we come back, hopefully you'll do better. Hopefully somebody gets up on the phones and makes it better. 1-800-636-8686. You know what would be great? A good phone call. I don't need a smack-off caliber call. I don't need a golden ticket caliber call. Just a good phone call. And how could you not, coming off the weekend we had? And if you don't like what I'm talking about, just bring something else to it. 1-800-636-8686. Brad Underwood at the top of the hour. Right now, here's the sports update. Here's Andrew.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Monday, always an ATP day. Ask the pros. You get to ask me a question brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. What you want to do is go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Submit your question there. Be listening later in the program, and I might answer one of yours. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. All right, looking for telephone calls. Quickly, 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to Charleston. Miles, good to have you. Miles, what's going on?
Rome, not much. Just enjoying NC State as an 11 seed in the Sweet 16. Seems like the only time we get to the Sweet 16 since we won the championship back under Valvano is when we're a double-digit seed. So hoping it goes a little better this time. A little antsy about a Duke matchup in the Elite Eight. But, Rome, I just got a quick question. It seems like there's one Big West team. Their futility was somewhat humorous for us that enjoyed watching them. You know, like Boise State, when was the last time they won anything? Was it when they beat Oklahoma back in like 2006? Anyway, Jim, war NC State, march on to the Final Four. War Matt in L.A., never calling again. See you, buddy.
All right, see you, bro. Again, why is everybody dragging our conference? You're confusing the Big West with the Mountain West. I understand that a lot of you are really unhappy that the Mountain West got six teams in. I get it. I get it. If you're in the ACC, I get it. If you're in the Big East, I get it. NC State is insane. I mean, look at what they've done. They've won seven games in 12 days. They've won seven games, and not only seven games in 12 days, seven games to end the year playing in the ACC. They had to win five games to win the tournament, and then they've won the conference tournament, and then they won two games in the NCAA tournament. So it's not like they won seven games in 12 days to start the year. Seven games in 12 days at the end of the year. And remember, the biggest seven games. They finished up the regular season having lost four in a row, and they had lost seven of nine. They were 17-14. They were under 500 in conference, 9-11. You could argue that Kevin Keats probably was on a pretty hot seat, and then something changed. Something changed. Then their postseason run began as a 10 seed, a 10 seed in their own conference tournament, and they run the table. They get the automatic bid. Then they beat Texas Tech in the first round. They survived that overtime battle with number 14, Oakland, in the second round. And now they've got a week off. Dude, if I were you, I would not be jumping over Marquette to concern yourself with the Elite Eight like you just did. You might want to concern yourself with Marquette, the two. But at the same time, the Wolfpack are no joke. I mean, nobody saw them in the tournament a couple of weeks back. Worst case scenario, you could say the coach's job was actually in jeopardy. And now look at him in the Sweet 16. I mean, it's incredible. They're getting run and they're getting attention and they're a Cinderella. I just don't think they're getting enough run. They've won seven games in 12 days running through the ACC. And you can't say, yeah, well, the ACC is not all that, because look at them in the tournament. Let's go to Texas. Kevin in Texas. Good to have you, Kevin. What's going on?
How's it going, Rome?
Good. You?
Doing pretty bad.
Listen, actually.
Houston was on their toes last night. They were shaking. A&M had them. We had them. I'm tired of Buzz Williams thinking this is the Wade Taylor show. How are you the head coach of an SEC team and you think Wade Taylor is the answer? I get it. He's a god among men when it comes to the court. But he wasn't there last night, and they were grateful Radford showed up. Wade Taylor has been the answer and also the problem all season. And as an Aggie, you can ask anybody, any A&M basketball fan, that we know is Wade Taylor or nothing. And if you're the head coach of an SEC team, how are you relying on one guy? It should be the Buzz Williams show, not the Wade Taylor show, and I think it's time for him to go. I'm tired of it. What are you going to do when Wade Taylor's gone? I'm tired of it. I'm out.
All right, Kevin. Appreciate it. I don't agree with it, but I appreciate it. This is what I'm talking about. This is why I'm here. I'm here for it. That's an A&M fan. You can hear it in his voice. That guy was screaming last night. He is so pissed. He's had enough. He's seen enough. I don't know. I tend to see it differently. But I'm a big Buzz fan. He did win 27 games 3 years ago. He did win 25 games last year. He did win 21 games this year. He got into the tournament this year. He had the number one seed on the ropes. That game was over. Over. Then they get into OT. They give Houston all they could handle. Yeah, I don't know. You're an A&M fan. I'm not going to tell you how to feel. I'm not going to tell you that you're wrong. I am going to tell you I disagree with you. I like Buzz. I like Buzz a lot. And if you're saying to me that they didn't finish last night, they had them on the ropes, they should have won that game, I've seen enough, he's got to go. I'm going to disagree with that. But you're an Aggie fan. Tough gig, man. Tough program, tough gig, high expectations. The thing is, the margin between victory and losing is so fine. If he brings them back and they win that game and they knock off the number one seed, that line, that arrow is pointing straight up. You're not making that phone call. He's being hailed for one of the all-time great wins for the program. That's how fine that line is. They don't win an OT. They don't finish. You want to fire the guy. They come back. They force OT on an incredible buzzer beater on a beautiful play that he drew up. And they win that game. And he's a legend and a hero. It's one or the other. It's that cut and dried. Either you're the worst coach ever or you're incredible. I'm going to try and be more reasonable than that. When we come back, the head coach of Illinois, they advance. Brad Underwood will be joining us. Wally Szczerbiak, top of hour number three. I like that, though. Two good telephone calls. Way to go. Keep them coming. Stay tuned.